That's good, brother. That's good right there. We'll stop after the first six verses. So, you say, what's going on here? What's going on here? What is the first words out of Jesus' mouth in chapter 7? Judge not, that ye be not judged.
Which they say now is overtaken John 3:16 as the most popular verse.
Well,
for the wrong
see, and Johnny's tracking where I'm going here, okay? Johnny's already ahead of the game. Johnny, slow down a little bit.
Okay.
Let the rest of us catch up.
Empty orbiting from camp.
That's right, that's right. Okay. So we understand, as Johnny says, this is one of the favorite verses of people who don't know the Bible. Someone comes to them and says, you know, that's not right. They say, judge not. Judge not, lest you be judged. Who are you to tell me what's right and wrong? Stop judging me. Have you ever heard the phrase, only God can judge me? Well, in a sense, that's right. God is the final judge. You will stand before God one day. But the idea of this person to say, only God can judge me. Who are you to judge me? You don't tell me what's wrong. You don't tell me that there's some area of my life that is not in right conformity to what God wants. And this verse has been the source of some confusion. Some confusion. What is Jesus meaning here? Judge not, that ye be not judged. Now, first of all, we got to dive into the confusion before we get clarity. Okay? We got to go feet first into the part where people have gotten confused on that before we are going to come out and see what I think Jesus is talking about here. So first of all, we're going to have everyone have your Bibles, right? So look at this right here. Judge not, Jesus says, that ye be not judged. Now I want you to turn over to John, the book of John, a few books in past Matthew, and look at John chapter 7. Look at John 7 and verse 24. John 7 verse 24. We just heard Jesus say, judge not, that ye be not judged. Now this is Jesus talking again. And he says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Wait, you say Jesus just said judge not. And now he says judge righteous judgment. Is that a contradiction? Is Jesus confused? Is he saying contradictory things? Well, let's keep on going. Turn over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and look over at verse number 10. Romans 14 and verse 10. Here's what Paul says. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught? And that means despise, look down on. Why do you despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now look down to verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. See, now I'm getting really confused. Jesus says, judge not, lest ye be judged. And now then he says, but judge righteous judgment. And now Paul says, let's not judge anybody anymore. You say, okay, so what does that mean? Okay, keep on going. Turn over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 11. It's one book after Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Actually, I'm sorry, go to verse 4 here first. Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 4. Look what Paul says here. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Sorry, that's 3. I don't even judge myself, he says. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Now look at verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. So there's another comment about judging. He says, don't judge anything ahead of time. Wait till the Lord comes back. He'll take care of it. He will be the one to be the judge. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. We've just seen Paul says, I don't judge myself. It's God that judges me. Now look it over at 1 Corinthians 11. And look at verse 31. Look what Paul says here. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Is he telling us we should judge ourselves there? Absolutely. He's saying if you judged yourself, if you looked at your own life and examined yourself and took care of things, God wouldn't have to judge you. God wouldn't have to take his spanking spoon out, his rod, his paddle, and say, okay, we got to have some discipline here. We got to have some judgment. If you just take care of yourself, if you judge yourself. Now, some of you might be extremely confused. Okay, so Jesus says, judge not that I don't be judged. Then he says, but judge righteous judgment. But then Paul says, why do you judge your brother? We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then Paul says, I don't judge myself. But then he says, if you judged yourself, you won't be judged. You say, okay, I don't get it. What's he saying here? What is going on? Well, first of all, we'll try to take away some of this confusion here by understanding a biblical look at what judging is not. Okay? So when Jesus says, judge not that ye be not judged, let's first understand what he's not talking about. Now let me ask you this. How do we know for certain that what Jesus is not talking about when he says, don't judge? How can we know for certain? Don't you think we can know that by this, looking to what Jesus did? Did Jesus commit sin? Was Jesus a sinner? So if we see Jesus doing something, can we safely say, well, that must not be a sin? You agree with me? Do you see where I'm going? So if Jesus says, don't judge, it's a sin to judge other people in the way he's talking about, we can go and look at what he did as an example of what it is not to judge, or what he told us to do. First of all, what judging is not is discernment. Discernment. What Jesus is not saying here when he says don't judge other people is to be discerning between what's right and what's wrong. To be discerning in looking at a person and examining their life and discerning between them doing right and them doing wrong. Now, how do I have proof of that? How do I know that? Well, take a look at verse number 6 of chapter 7. We're back in Matthew chapter 7. Find your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7, and now look at verse 6 with me. This is what Jesus says right after he tells people, stop judging. Stop being a judge. Look what he says. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Don't give a filet mignon to the dogs. Don't give something special. Don't take your nicest china bowl down and stick it in front of your dog and have him go to town. Now, is he talking about dogs there? No, he's talking about people. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Now, look what he says here. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Don't take your most valuable jewels. Don't take your pearls and cast them before swine, before pigs. We wouldn't do that. And now he's saying the same thing spiritually. Now, let me ask you something. Don't you think if Jesus says, don't cast your what is holy to the dogs, don't cast your pearls to swine, you need to know what's a pig and what's a dog? Spiritually speaking, do you understand that? You have to look at someone and say, now, Jesus is saying there's going to be people that we say, you know what? I'm not going to say this truthful thing to them right now because they can't, they'll turn again and rend me with it. They're going to turn again and attack me with it. I'm not going to say what's true to them. I'm not going to give that which is holy to the dogs. I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine. That takes some discernment, doesn't it? Turn over to verse number 17. Look what Jesus said in the same chapter, Matthew chapter 7. He says, let's look at verse 16. Ye shall know them, false prophets he's talking about here, those who are coming and teaching what's not true. He says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Look in verse 20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. If you want to know a tree, what do you do? Do you go cut off a slice of bark and take it into someone and say, can you please analyze what the DNA properties of this tree are? No, what do? You wait till see what comes off its branches. If you see apples come off the branches, what do you say? It's an apple tree. If you see oranges, you say, well, there's an orange tree. And what Jesus is saying about false teachers, teachers who are not teaching what's true, he says, look at their fruit. Now, does that take discernment to look at someone's fruit and say, this person is not someone that I should be casting my pearls before. This teacher right here, their life is not matching up to what they're saying. This person, I got to know them by their fruits. So do you see, first of all, what Jesus is not saying is here, don't look at people and discern between right and wrong. That's not what he's saying. He commands us to do that. We should exercise discernment. We should look at whether it's someone for, say, friends for our children. We want to be careful and discerning. Is this person a good influence on my child or a bad influence? We look at someone we are considering perhaps in marriage, and we say, would this person be a good husband or a bad husband? Would this person be a good wife or a bad wife? We discern, we make those moral judgments. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Let's understand, secondly, what he's not talking about is disapproval. He's not talking about expressing disapproval of what is wrong. Now, how do we know this? Do you think Jesus ever expressed disapproval of the people that were around him? Do you know what he said to those hypocrites, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day? He looked at them. He stood up in a public place and he said, "You pit of snakes." He said, "Who's going to rescue you from the damnation of hell?" These were the religious leaders of the day, but they were frauds. They were phonies. They were telling people to live one way, and they were living another way themselves. They held themselves up as being the special ones, as being the religious and righteous ones. And Jesus ripped their mask off and says, "You're not righteous. How are you going to stop from going to hell? You're on your way to hell." You say, "Whoa! I thought Jesus says, judge not." Can you imagine when someone makes that kind of statement of disapproval today? Now, if you're a little bit fearful or a little bit worried about disapproval over sin, we might not want to go next door today. There's a Bible passage that makes us give a lot of disapproval against sin from our pulpit, and I'm going to do that this morning. But you see, Jesus was not simply saying, don't ever express, we're all good, you do your thing, I do my thing, you make yourself happy, I'll make myself happy. No, that's not true. If you look over, I just want to show one other example of this that is just really kind of remarkable. Take a look over at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 of Acts chapter 13. This is Paul spreading the gospel. He's preaching the gospel, and this sorcerer named Elymas withstood them, verse 8 says, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. He's trying to get in the middle of Paul's work. Now, what do you think Paul says? "Oh, I'm not going to judge. Whatever floats your boat, if you want to try to do that, that's totally fine." Look at what Paul says. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know what that scripture is telling us? Paul wasn't sinning when he said this. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. God was moving him to do this. And look what he says. Set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" He says, won't you stop trying to get in front of the right ways of the Lord, you child of the devil, you enemy of what's righteous and what's good and what's pure. Now, can you imagine what would happen today if Paul used those words against an enemy of God, an enemy of Jesus? How dare you judge me? Your Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged. But you see, that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was not talking about expressing disapproval for things that are wrong. And do you know what also he wasn't talking about? He wasn't talking about discipline. God has placed in the church an authority structure for the discipline of those that are violating, openly and willfully violating, the commands of God. If the Bible says, thou shalt not, and one in the congregation, one in this body, is saying, oh yeah, I will. It is the job, and they will not repent, they will not turn. It is the job of the leaders of the church to go to that one and to say, I'm sorry, you cannot be a member of our fellowship when you are living in open violation of God's principles. Now, this is something that Scripture commands. Scripture says, look at someone, and if they're not walking orderly, if they're not walking the way they're supposed to be walking, stay away from that person. If someone calls themselves, hey, I'm your brother, I'm your sister in Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian, and they're living in open fornication, they're living in open other sin, open drunkenness, open other things, do you know what Paul says? Don't eat with that person. Don't even eat with them. Why? Because if they're calling themselves a brother and yet slandering the name of Christ by living in unrepentant sin, what Paul says is, you need to make a distinction between yourself and them. Oh, that's so judgmental. How can you look at someone and judge them like that? Well, friends, it's not what Jesus meant when he said, judge not, that ye be not judged. That's not what he meant. He did not mean discernment, he did not mean disapproval, and he did not mean the exercise of church discipline. So what did he mean? What did he mean, and we're going to call this second point, the character, and you may wonder why I haven't provided a title for our message today yet, and now is the time I'm going to give a title, because now I'm going to explain to you what I believe Jesus is talking about here. We're running out of ink a little bit here. Now, look at this. The critic condemned. Now, there's a very interesting something that we have in our culture today, the role of the critic. What does a critic do? I'm not talking about the person who's critical. I'm talking about the job of the critic, the film critic, the music critic, the food critic, the art critic. What does the critic do?
Goes to whatever he's going to and economy.
The quality of the whatever.
Exactly right. The person who is the critic, the film critic, goes and watches a movie and then goes and writes something in the newspaper, and what do they say? It was all right. Right? Oh, it was all right. Oh, that was great. That was boring. That was not very well done. What does the music critic say? The music critic goes to a concert and says, oh man, this is really overrated. I was really disappointed with this. This was not very good. Where does the food critic go? They go sit down in a restaurant. They taste the food. They say, oh man, this place on the menu, this food item is amazing. This one's a little too salty. This one's a little bit overdone.
Or they could say, that was
belchable. Oh, boy. Well, I haven't heard that one, Johnny, but I appreciate that.
So
what is the job of the critic? Now, the funny thing is, when we think about what the critic is doing, is putting themselves up here and looking down on someone else's work and say, I am the one who is qualified here to say, this is good and this is wrong. This I could do it a little bit better. This is not quite as good as up to my standards. The funny thing was, if you go back in time to some of the greatest composers, take a Beethoven. You think of classical, oh man, that Beethoven, he was a great composer. Do you know in his day, you should have seen what some of the critics said to trash him. One of his symphonies, there was this one line where they said, it was like this, his second symphony was like this dragon that was thrashing around in its death throes, but it's still it managed to stick its tail up in the last movement. That was Beethoven's symphony. We look at that and say, oh man, what a beautiful piece. This is so amazing. There's always the critic who is going to stand up and say, you know what? That's not all that. That's not all that good. Now, I want to bring out three points of the character of this critic that Jesus is saying here, let this not be you. Do not judge. No, I'm not talking about discernment. I'm not talking about disapproval of sin. I'm not talking about discipline of open sin. I'm talking about this. First of all, under our character, the character of this person, let's see, first of all, how they view others. How they view others. How does a critic view the work of other people. The person who goes to the restaurant and sticks his nose up in the air and says, this does not quite meet my standards. He goes to a film and says, I don't care how much work they put into this. I did not find it amusing. I did not find it entertaining. The central feature, one of the central characteristics of the one that judges is the way they view other people. They constantly view them as needing aid, as being beneath them, as being the one who doesn't quite live up to their standard. Now, Jesus gives a great example of this. If you have Matthew chapter 7 open, look over at verse number 3. Look at what Jesus says. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Now you say, what does that mean? What does that word mote mean? The word mote is essentially there meaning a sliver, a little twig. Now, is it a big deal if you have a sliver in your eye?
Yes.
Of course it is. Your eye is going to be red. It's going to be inflamed. It's going to be painful. You're going to say, get this thing out of my eye. That's a big deal. But now, do you know what Jesus is saying is? He's looking at the person who he says has a beam in his eye. That's like a 2x4 that's about 8 feet long. That's what Jesus is saying here. One guy has a sliver, a twig in his eye, and yeah, that's bad. But the other guy has the beam. He's got this thing sticking way out of his eye. It's practically way back up there in his eye socket. Of course, Jesus is making almost a comedic picture here. He's intending us to laugh about it. He's saying, that's hilarious. This guy with his big beam in his eye. And what he's saying is, why are you sitting there looking down at someone and say, hey, you've got a sliver in your eye. Do you see that? And you're practically hitting him over the head with the beam that's coming out of your own eye. That's what Jesus is saying is, but have you ever known someone like that? And listen, it may be you who always has an opinion on what every single other person is doing around you. You're always looking in the moment you see someone, hey, man, that Dave, what is he doing? Man, did you hear what dear Johnny's joke again this morning? What is Johnny getting at this morning? You see, that kind of person who is always on the lookout for what others are doing, and they are so quick to spot flaws in other people. We won't turn to it now, but in the book of Luke, do you remember the woman that came in to Jesus when he was sitting at and eating at someone's house, and she took and broke a bottle of perfume and she poured it on him and she washed his feet with her tears and with her hair. She was just showering love and affection on her. And did you know what the Pharisee said? He looked at her and you can just see his nose going up in the air, and he said, if Jesus knew who this woman was, he wouldn't be letting her do this to him because she's a sinner. That was the Pharisee. And what Jesus said is, he said to this judgmental Pharisee, he said, Simon, don't you know that those which have been forgiven much love much? See, Simon, you don't know that she's been forgiven. You don't know that in my eyes she's not that wicked sinner anymore. She's a forgiven sinner and she's pouring love on me. And this Pharisee just wants to look and criticize at who she is. We have to be so careful in this when our perspective of others is always up here saying, I'm so glad I'm not like that person over there. Now, do you know what the other thing about this person is? This person has an inherently critical spirit. It's the kind of the person who looks someone up and down and is just always forming moral judgments, always forming thoughts. Now, do you know the problem with the Pharisees was? See, one of the central differences between discernment and disapproval and this judgmental spirit is that the person who looks at the Word of God and says, you know, my Bible says, do not commit fornication. My Bible says, do not be a drunk. Do not intoxicate yourself with alcohol. You know, that means when the Bible condemns someone, it is not wrong for me to just discern, to discriminate, so to speak, in the right kind of way, and say, this person's living in fornication. That's wrong. You see, friend, it's not me then that's judging that person. It's the Word of God. It's not me that's standing up and putting on my black robe and saying, in my rule book, that's wrong. I'm saying, brother, the Word of God says what you're doing here is wrong. That's not judging. That is not judging. You know what judging is? When we set up our own little moral codes, when we set up our own little standard of righteousness, and then when someone doesn't meet it, we say, all right, I see, it's a shame. The critical mean spirit that comes out indeed of so many Christians who set themselves up as the standard for what is to be judged. To others, there's a critical and judgmental spirit. Now look, there's something that's very important. What is the character of this person to themselves? How does the judgmental person view themselves? Well, if they're looking down on everyone else and saying, you don't rise to my standard, where are they holding themselves? Way up here. It's the person who likes to put on their black robe and waltz up and stand as judge of everyone else. Do you know why? I think so many people have a hard time when they are selected by the president to be a judge to turn it down. Don't you think it would be hard to turn down wearing a black robe around all day and everyone saying, Your Honor, Your Honor, Your Honor, tell me what to do, Your Honor. We're bringing this issue to you, Your Honor. And they have a job to do. I'm not criticizing them. But we have that same tendency. We like to be setting ourselves up. We like to have our own moral code and then us to be the judge. You have not lived up to my standard. You have not lived up to my standard. What we're doing is we're exalting ourselves. Now go back to this picture that Jesus gives of the one who has the sliver in his eye versus the one who has the beam in his eye. Who's got the bigger problem? Who's got the bigger problem? The guy with the... Both got a problem, but who has the bigger problem? The guy with the beam. And he's the guy who is holding himself up and saying, here, let me help you get this mote out of you. Let me get this sliver out of your eye. Now, people have wondered and commented on, what does this mean? Does this mean that the person with their sliver in his eye is the person with just a little sin, and the person with the beam in their eye is just living some awful, horrible sin, the one that we say, oh man, I'm not going to commit that one, that murderer over here, that rapist over here? I don't think that's what Jesus is meaning. Because you know the person who is typically living in just willful, flagrant sin, they usually don't really care what other people are doing. They're not the ones running around saying, hey, you're doing wrong too. They say, oh, I don't care. I'm living the way I want. Who is the person that is always running around trying to pick and pester in everyone else's life? It's a person with a specific problem. Self-righteousness. The self-righteous person who says, I don't have problems. I'm doing just fine. Is the one who is running around and always trying to get slivers out of other people's eyes. Now this is important. What Jesus is saying here is, when you are a self-righteous, critical, mean-spirited person, you're the one with the mammoth beam sticking out of your eye. Don't run around and think, hey, I've got it made. I'm doing fine. Jesus says, you're the one with the problem. You're the one. This person may have a sin. They may have a sliver in their eye that needs to get out. Someone needs to help them get that out. But it's not going to be you when you're running around doing this. I'm glad I don't have those problems. I'm glad I am above and beyond that kind of behavior. It's sinful. It is awful. And that is the kind of beam that Jesus is talking about here. The self-righteous, critical, mean-spirited approach that always is looking at what other people are doing, trying to make them arise to our own standard, and then criticizing them when they don't. Now, here's just something, and this was something that was very important for me. I think one way to discern whether we have a critical spirit toward other people is to see how we process news about them. Do you know what's a real challenge for me to be? When I see someone that I am concerned, maybe I've truly discerned that something's not right with them. Maybe I'm disapproving of their behavior. But do you know when I turn judgmental is when a piece of news comes in about them and I immediately think the worst? Oh, there they go again. So they weren't at church today. Or, oh, this person said this or did this. Oh, yep, I knew it. I got to go get on my knees and pray for them. I got to go help them with that problem. You see, they may have a problem. But this critical, self-righteous spirit that says, I know what's going on. I can judge their motives. I can judge their heart. is the one that is so disastrous. Because, friend, look at what the character is of this person toward God. You remember the verse we memorized today? There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you? Who are you to step in and judge your brother? Now think about that. Have you ever known someone who has looked at some action and said, I know what was going on. They said that thing because they don't like me. They said that thing because he is proud. She said that thing because she is so vain. You know what they're doing? They're getting into the heart and they're saying, I know what's going on in the heart there. I know their motives. I know what they're thinking. Do you remember what God said to Samuel when he was selecting a king? He said, Samuel, you're looking at the outward appearance. He said, God looks at the outward, man looks at the outward appearance, but God judges where? Where does God look? At the heart. And that's why in Romans 14, when there are areas that are not clearly commanded by Scripture, when there are areas of life in which we're living that we're not violating a principle of Scripture, God has convinced us of something. He may have convinced, there may be something else that's convinced of on another way, that it's not our job to stand in, as Paul said, why do you judge your brother? He's going to stand before God one day and God's going to judge him. Why are you trying to peer into his heart and say, I know what you're thinking? That's God's job. God will judge him for that. You don't need to be the one that stands up and is the judge, jury, and executioner for every person around this church.
They may find out later that they were right, but for the wrong reason.
And I think that's a good point, Johnny. That's absolutely right. What you're doing
happened, but not because of what they thought, but because of a completely different circumstance.
That could,
even if they were right.
That could absolutely be right. Mm-hmm. So you see, friends, when we stand up, as Jesus says, as a critic, as the one with this critical, mean-spirited approach to other people, we are setting ourselves in God's place. We are putting ourselves in God's place and saying, I've got it. And that's a very scary place to be. Why? Why is it scary for us to look down on others with critical spirit, to lift ourselves up in our own self-righteousness, to try to kick down others to make ourselves look a little better? You know, by the way, we've seen these things. I was just talking with someone recently about this whole issue. You know, I've heard of Cecil the lion that was killed over in Zimbabwe. And whatever you feel about trophy hunting is neither here nor there. But do you know what I've noticed that's so interesting? I think people are attacking this dentist here in the Twin Cities who went to do it to make themselves feel better. They say, I don't go kill lions. I don't go do that kind of thing. I'm not so cruel. And they feel a little bit better about themselves in their own self-righteousness. They're trying to absolutely destroy another human being.
The very same people that are dead set against what he did, they're probably the same people that don't think anything about aborting babies.
And that's very well true as well. So we see here this kind of judgmental spirit that looks down on others, that lifts ourselves up and tries to kick God out of the way, displace God. You see, why is this so terrifying? Because there's a severe consequence. First of all, we'll match what we did with character. How is that consequence manifested toward others? It's this. When you are a judgmental, critical person, you will never help someone else. Now, do you know what Jesus said here? He said, he doesn't say, don't ever help someone try to get a sliver out of their eye. He doesn't say that. He says, don't ever try to, he's not saying, don't ever try to help this brother who's sinning. He's saying, get the beam out of your eye first, and then you can help them. Then you can help. When you approach someone to say, hey, you got a problem, and you come at it in a way that is in your own self-righteousness, your pride, your own conceit, how's that person going to respond? Have you ever seen someone try to solve a dispute between two people and they just make it worse because they're so angry and they're so self-righteous and they're so pride? Everyone then starts hating them. They're the one that's the problem. That's why Paul says in Galatians, he says, brethren, if a man or if a woman be overtaken in a fault, if they fall into sin, if they go down, he says, restore that person, grab their hand and pull them out. He said, in a spirit of meekness, to say, I could be doing the same thing. I could have fallen the same way. I'm not judging your motives. I'm not judging who you are. Now look, he recognizes you're in a sin. You're in a fault. This is something that's wrong here. We got to help you out of this. You're doing the wrong thing. But he always is in a spirit of meekness to say, I've been there too. I got my own issues. If you see anything with me, pull me out too. I got my same problems, but this is wrong. Let me help you out. Let me help you out. You see, the person who goes around in self-righteousness to judge everyone else is the one who's never going to help people with their problems because they don't think that they have any. Now look at this. Secondly, what's the consequence to themselves? How does it manifest it in themselves? The person who is a judgmental, critical person is the one who never gets the beam out of their own eye. You see, what Jesus is saying here is, this person who's got this beam in his eye has a problem. He's blind to his own faults. If you're driving down the street in your car and you look in that mirror, you've heard of such a thing as a blind spot, right? What's the blind spot? It's something that the mirror doesn't pick up. There's a car right in your blind spot. You don't even see it. Christians have blind spots. They're driving down the road of life and they do something and they sometimes don't even recognize it's sinful. Now, this person, this self-righteous person, the one who holds himself up as the judge, puts on his black robe, is the one who has this awful, awful sin that's preventing them from helping anyone else, and they never see it. They never see it. In Revelation, Jesus is talking to a church that's there, and he says, you know what? You think you've got it made. You think you can see. He says, you're actually blind. He says, you think you're clothed. You're actually naked. You think you've got it all, but you actually have nothing. He says, you got to see it. And that is our problem. Third, the consequences as it relates to God. Because Jesus says, judge not, and what comes after it? That ye be not judged. Who is he talking about? He's talking about God, I believe. Now, it is true, I think, in a sense, that those who judge others will also have a tendency, those people will have a tendency then to judge that person. He's talking about a physical world too. But I think the soberness, the seriousness of here is that he's saying, when you run around as a judge and put yourself in God's seat, guess what God's going to do? He's going to judge you with that judgment that you're judging other people. Now, do you remember in James chapter 3, there's a very interesting phrase that James uses. He said, don't be many masters. He's saying, don't be many teachers. Why? Because you'll receive the greater condemnation. Do you know every time I stand up here to teach the Word of God, when I go next door to stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God, I am opening the door to greater condemnation to myself than you? Why? Because I'm standing up as one interpreting the Word of God. I'm standing up and saying, this is what the Word of God says. And if I'm wrong, if my own blindness is withholding that, I'm holding myself up to condemnation. And God says, you're going to be judged at a greater level than everyone else around you. Now think about the person who holds themselves in God's stead and says, all right, I know everyone. I can judge their heart. I can judge their motives. I can judge this questionable behavior. I can be the self-righteous, critical person like this. God says, you know what? You are setting yourself up for only a greater judgment yourself because you're trying to kick me out of my spot. Friends, this is a very sobering thing. It's a very sobering thing because the critic in God's eyes is condemned. May we instead have the spirit of love. Paul said, love thinketh no evil. Mercy is willing to look over someone's sin. Yes, help them out of it, but not look into motives in these other judgmental, self-critical, self-righteous spirit. May we understand what this judging is not, and may we understand what it is. And may God give us grace to not be the critic that is condemned. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this lesson. May we understand more clearly what it is to judge, Lord, that we may not be ourselves judged. Bless this morning's service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.